Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of It Pricked. It's a rose by yours truly, none other than Doris Wanyaga. So in today's episode, I have a big brand, a person who's a big brand. That is how I'd love, I think myself would love to call him, but I'd love to give him this opportunity to introduce himself, tell us what he does. I've only mentioned he's a big brand. What is he? Who is he? Welcome.
Thank you, Doris. I appreciate the kind words. I'm trying my best. I'm trying my best. Now, my name is James Mumburi Osore. I have guys from college call me Osore, guys call me Jim. But I'm synonymous with Sanura because of what I do, as I'll call it a career. But I'm using it as a pastime, essentially, because it's something that I love. I am a graduate in industrial chemistry. That's where I get the background to most of the stuff that I do. I did a couple of months in postgraduate classes. That is a master's degree in environmental chemistry, but it got the best of me. Stuff, you guys. Before you get into your master's class, you need so much cash, right? I launched the Sanura company sometime during COVID. I'm a COVID baby. We call ourselves COVID babies. We never had any idea on what to do, so we just did the stuff that is out of our boundaries, right? And I started making sanitizers. That was sometime in April 2020. I think that's when the first case was announced. So past the sanitizers, I just got into beauty. I realized, the Kebs guys were hunting down some fake, can I call them, sanitizers, because the guys would put alcohol. There was just substandard sanitizers, and being a health product, you'd really need the standards to be up there, right? So I quit doing that because I didn't have the facilities to, even the funding to explore the sanitizer line that I initially introduced. I found myself doing butters. Those are the first three things that I did. I did a hair butter, a body butter, and a shampoo. It was still so, can I call it lame? I won't call it lame, but it wasn't really up to par as what I'm doing right now. And fast forward, let's say the shampoo, I used to have a thick shampoo. Now I have a watery kind of shampoo because I have a narrative alongside that shampoo. I would spend an hour talking about the shampoo, so let me just cut it.
Okay. In fact, I want to, like, just before we go deeper, I want you to do me a favor. Introduce yourself, without all these things. Who is James? Like, without your career, what you do for a living, what defines you, what you've studied, what your family call you. Who is James without all this?
Without Sanura,
yes,
James is probably nothing, but I'll just give you the scraps, the crumbs of what I'm left with if Sanura is not part of my being. I am from Voi. I was born in Kakamega. I'm partly Luya, partly Taita. But I align mostly with the Taita people. As they say, Taita people are kind guys, that's why my demeanor is a little bit chill, right? I am the last one of four. As I said, I did
without career.
Cool. I played tennis a lot. I love chess games. I watch lots of documentaries. I'm a romantic. I tend to think that I am kind. I'm really nothing besides Samura. Wow. Let me see. What else can I talk about myself? I'm an optimistic kind of guy. I love manifesting. I love being around people who would not complain and just talk about, you know, futuristic kind of views.
Wow. It's okay.
I'm thinking about my life without Sanura.
Yes. Without career.
Without career at all.
You're not supposed to mention what you do for a living, what you studied, where you're from, what you do, but like other than that, I'll remind you at the end of this episode.
Okay.
Sour. Okay.
We'll get back to that.
So, okay, welcome so much.
Okay.
So, in today's episode, we are going to be talking about entrepreneurship.
Right.
So, the episode is called Dear Founder.
Yes.
Okay. As Sanura has mentioned, he is a founder of Sanura. How do we call it?
Well, the company is Sanura, the Sanura company, and So I'd say I'm the CEO of the Sanura company and the founder of Sanura Beauty. Sanura Beauty is the wing that has the product.
So the CEO of the Sanura company. So essentially why we're here is because entrepreneurship is such a broad world. And to see like someone stand out and create something from scratch and create something that is tangible for us now to consumers is such a beauty. And that is why like I'm pleased and happy to have you on this set, and I'd love us to dive into the world of entrepreneurship. Okay,
sure.
Yeah, so we can I think start and now we now dive into your business. Now we can go to Sanura. You can now start mentioning the shampoo.
Right.
You have had you mention the shampoo. I've heard that you studied industrial chemistry.
Right.
So before we go to the Sanura company, I'd love to know like what is industrial chemistry? What do you like guys study in school?
Well, industrial chemistry is a blend of the sciences, there's some bit of math.
Mm-hmm.
What we technically do as a graduate, we tend to be able to have ideas around production. So anything that is industrial, say I would okay, when I just have a picture of an industrial place, there's a couple of solvents. Now those would be chemicals, say the acetones, the alcohols. I am also trained on good practices around, you know, say manufacturing. I'm also into the basics of the mathematics, the calculuses, there's some physics. We even studied about planetary motion. We did bits of environmental care. I actually supplemented that with my master's degree in environmental
in months.
I got enough information. I think I was done. So as an industrial chemist graduate, those are some of the things that
What do we expect, like just in a nutshell, what do we expect an industrial chemistry graduate to do in the world?
Well, so you see, you have these companies that are in need of quality control guys or quality assurance guys. So let's say an example of the breweries. I've worked at the breweries. So I have a very good vision for that. So with the breweries, there's usually the guys who blend the oils. And it's not the oils, I'm sorry.
The alcohol
and or even the fermentation and all that. So that could be a chemist because they have knowledge on the individual bits that get into the beer, right? And then at the end, where most of the industrial chemists and the analytical chemists fit is with quality, because we also do bits of spectrometry and also equipment. We have knowledge around running some equipment. It's what we usually do in our attachments and in internships, right? It's difficult to fit them right now because for some reason they don't really need so much. They might need like two quality control guys, say in a very huge brand. So you can imagine the graduates
and a whole class of 50 students,
right?
1 year.
And at the same time, we usually tend to get sidelined as people with quote unquote, you know, the degree is a little bit, can I say, prestigious. So the employer in those industries would feel like would request for a larger compensation, say for some, compared to someone who would do, say, just BSc sciences. And we could do the same thing, actually. So that's in a nutshell what the industrial chemist does.
Okay, so now I want to, like, take us through Sanura, the CEO. How did you come about to have like such a brand? Like you mentioned it as a side hustle,
right?
But you know, you could have chosen something else, but you do beauty. Please assist me with one of the batters. How did you come to be that you'll be creating batters for us?
Okay, as I earlier told you when we met, The when it comes to creating a product, I think first of all, fate plays a huge role in everyone's life, right? There's some days I did some things which accumulated to who I am right now, and if just tiny stuff would really divert my route. What I'm trying to say is I don't have a structure through which I could say create a product. I'm not there yet. I haven't really systemized it. To date, I only just go through probably Pinterest. I see something that I'd like to create. If it's natural, it's beneficial, and I can create it affordably, I would create it and give it to my clients. When it comes to the formulas, that's also something that could be a skill, right? I don't want to call it a talent. I never really thought I would really make awesome blends. Like, I wish I carried my scalp oil or my beard oil. It'd smell the blend of around 8 oils. So it takes so much trial and error, because sometimes some of the oils are really corrosive, so you have to just get the right balance. I do this comfortably. I don't really need so much equipment. And having a background in chemistry would also make me have an easy time about researching. You see, with what I have right now, they might be natural, but they are compounds. They're still chemicals. They're just naturally formed, right? So if I would have to make a formula, say, for the shampoo, I would have to know what, say, the foaming agents, I know, because we were taught that in school, what foaming agents are there, the mechanism around it cleansing your hair, and what I can add to add value to the shampoo. So say, you might also research some benefits through research, say with the rosemary oil and mint oil, which are some of my favorite oils that I use in almost all my products. I did some peer-reviewed journal training writing, I could say. So that is basically just training on how to write scientifically approved. There's really this peer, like there's a group of people who sit down and look through your paper once you've done your research. So I have some background in knowing what to write, how to write such articles, and they'll probably come in handy in future when I'll be having products that have claims. It's something that the Pharmacy and Poisons Board are doing right now. They want you to make a claim. They want you to have evidence that is backing the claims that I'm
making. That you created,
yes.
This.
Not really creating. There's a difference between you creating a shampoo and just saying it as a shampoo and me having a shampoo saying it's anti-dandruff and anti-itch.
How many products so far do you have? Like, I've seen this body butter.
Okay.
I've seen that one. Like,
yeah.
How many of the collections do you have?
Well, I have created around 30 products, 30 different products. There's some which I let them die a natural death. Like, I used to make baby oils. I used to make, I used to have a cocoa butter kind of package as well. So I let those die a natural death because, again, it's a little bit tough. But currently I have, give or take, 25 different products. I can't really keep count because... Say with the body butters, I have like 7 different variants. Those are individual products, right? I just launched the perfume oils. I have 3 star because I can easily make more. So it's quite easy for me to create products. And that has really brought me close to my next project that I'm going to do in future. I'm going to be partnering with Mancave. Mancave is a barbershop franchisee. Yeah, so I'm going to create a line of men products.
For them. Okay, so okay, now I'm also, Doris is also an entrepreneur. I recently launched a beauty spa, if I may say so. But I know that it's not easy to start something. I know for a fact that when you start team, you need some amount of cash with you, and as much as people look at it like something prestigious or something like you've done, oh wow, you have a whole brand. But there's a lot that goes in the background. Could you please tell us, if you're comfortable, how much did you invest in your first creation?
Okay.
And how much did it give you back?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll relate the money that I got to maybe someone who would want to start a business,
yeah,
and how those two would link.
Yeah,
I was fortunate enough being a last born and having a brother and a sister who contributed some cash. I was still gray in the area. I just asked them to have to help me with some odd 40,000, 50,000 cash shillings, right? So since I already had an idea of a shampoo and those, the hair butter and the body butter, I would easily get them. I would reduce my production cost by getting at least one batch of a bulk product, right? So now that's the money I used to, I remember even have the image, I think I'll give it to you so you can stitch it. I remember having around 180 shampoo bottle pieces with the money, as well as I got the money to make some stickers. I got the money to get a whole bigger bucket of shea butter. I've been working with shea butter for the longest time. You see, it's cheaper getting it in bulk.
Bulk.
So in essence, what I would tell someone who wants to start, say, any type of enterprise, it could be in manufacturing, it could be in service, it's service related and all that, you'd need some amount of cash to step out. I mean, not to step out, but to start and stand out. Because you really believe in your craft, you can easily enhance it with some bit of money. Again, you don't need so much money. As I said, I only used around 40,000 to get my first batch, to get my first batch in bulk packages, in bulk raw materials as well. So I started with that, and I went on. Just it's a stressful period. I remember giving out free delivery for my products. I also had a very poor kind of quality as far as the presentation of the product and also the inclusives of the product. After some time, you just get to learn so much. As I say, the more you tend to do the thing that you're doing, the more confidence you'll have, the more experience you'll have, and you'll be better than, say, the next 10,000 people.
Definitely.
And that's the confidence that you want to have to just keep pushing, right? And that's how you create a brand.
Okay. Yeah. So you've said 40,000 shillings was your first installment.
Was my first batch, right?
Okay. So I think sometimes we overthink things because, like, look at you now. Look at where you are. Okay. Who thought 40,000 shillings could, like, over time grow? See, I'm sure, like, today you... If you like, you do, what do you call this, audit on your products, they are way more.
Yeah, I mean, Sanura doesn't, okay, yeah, sure. I usually say the brand is in the people or it's in the cloud.
Yeah.
If I lost everything, if my factory or the place where I do my production just burns down, I still have some value in the brand that is out there. At least I can just go back and keep creating and people still get it. It's actually somewhere in the cloud. It also depends on how you build your brand. Again, it depends on the enterprise. You probably had to get a location and have it, you know, propped up.
Kanjo.
Yeah, all those things. And they're usually a one-time thing. I mean, if you start getting those necessities done, and if you're a service provider, you see, now that's different. You'll be a service provider, I do goods, right? So with services, you can easily scale from there, and you won't have that initial burden as far as the staff. But I'll have to go back and get the bulk product. So it's quite different. You have to look at it from a very individual point of view.
Okay. Now, I had also asked you, like, can you, like, give a quantifying, like, you know, like something, like, you gave first 40.
Right.
Would you say the first 40 came back? What was that feeling in your first installment? Mm-hmm. What kept you going? Like, first of all, did the first 40 come back?
Well, I can't really say for sure. When you're starting out, as you make your profits, they easily just slide into your direct needs. You go back and buy your food. It will be your transport, your fares, and all that. Now, I'm not really talented when it comes to handling documents and finances. I'll be open with that. You know, we're talented differently. So I haven't really been putting up. Let me tell you how I come up with a price for this. It'll make sense. Now, this is a bergamot. It's a product I introduced just the other day. It's an essential. It's really nice, right? I sell this for 500 Kenya shillings. But I estimated it. I actually asked people, how much are you comfortable getting this for? And most of them said 500. Mm-hmm. That's why it's really important for you to have a close relationship with the people who are engaging with your brand.
But how do you ensure that that 500, you've not spent 700 on that
Okay,
product?
So now that's the work. I mean, of course, mm-hmm. I've had experience in this. So I can't really put up a figure that would get me at a loss.
Mm-hmm.
And if it will, mm-hmm. I would work, I'd work my ass off
mm-hmm.
To get this production price just a little bit lower than 500,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's what I've been doing in the rest of my products. I haven't really been having a very concise kind of documentation as far as my finances,
mm-hmm.
profit and loss. I'm still not so good at that. I'm hiring someone to do that for me.
Mm-hmm.
But that has still got me to the place that I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it's just fate that
yeah.
I'm just not getting into a loss. I'm just hoping that as I'm selling this,
mm-hmm.
I'm getting some odd 100
mm-hmm.
shillings, 150 to just keep creating.
Mm-hmm.
But I think once I have a team, I'm still
mm-hmm.
like probably the only person who is doing this. I do the marketing, I do the production, I do the customer relations and all that. But if I systemize it into a team
mm-hmm.
in which these other entrepreneurs would yearn towards.
Mm-hmm.
Because the goal of having a startup, say, as an entrepreneur is selling it off to someone.
Really?
Yeah, that's the whole goal.
Mm-hmm.
You see what they do, say, in Silicon Valley.
Mm-hmm.
They start up a company
mm-hmm.
and they raise money.
Mm-hmm.
They tell people about the company and there are guys who would put in some money as an investment, right? There are guys who get it in millions. So what that money does is handles your operation and your salaries and all that. You have a nice idea. If you go convince someone that the idea is really nice and you can broaden that idea to make more profits. That is how I'll approach the investor. To tell them, just give me that 1,000 Kenya shillings. And after, say, 3-4 years, I'd get you, say, 100,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But I think systems are important.
Systems
like
are really
in
important.
In my view,
right.
Systems are very important because, like, you know, as young people who are like entrepreneurs and small people starting out, we're not able like to get a whole system thingy.
Yeah.
Like it's a whole system thingy.
Right.
But how do we like keep this? How do we like ensure that this thing is sustainable? I want to ask you a question. I was listening to Vusi the other day.
Who's that?
Vusi Tembekeo. Vusi the okay, I'll
oh,
show
yeah.
you.
Okay.
But he was saying that when you start, there's a difference between an entrepreneur and I don't know what, but the main, I think you are achieving this. This is this is something you're achieving. You.
It's a case study.
Yeah, with you, like with you.
Okay.
So you see the way you were saying you want to start a startup, then you can sell it. So he was saying, is what you've started something that can do without you? Like, are you creating systems for the business to run for you even without you? Or that does the business require you to be there for you to run? Like, if you're not there, Sanura won't be there.
Yeah.
Or are you creating Sanura in such a way that you're seated there, there's a whole Sanura,
okay.
you are the brand,
mm-hmm.
but you're not required by the brand to
okay.
be present.
Right. I get your point. Mm-hmm. I get your point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll just give you a futuristic dream that I'm having with
mm-hmm.
the brand, right?
Okay.
The entire thing that is about selling the brand as well.
Mm-hmm.
Systems are important.
Mm-hmm.
Currently,
mm-hmm.
GEMS is synonymous to Sanura.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, I do the marketing, I do the production.
Mm-hmm.
I am solely, okay, Sanura depends on me, same way I do depend on Sanura.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the goal.
Mm-hmm.
I need, say, in 15 years
mm-hmm.
to have hard systems in there. Now, that is when you're going to attract these, we call them big corporations.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they'll still exist
mm-hmm.
because capitalism is really taking a toll.
Moving
right?
fast. Yeah.
But now these guys are the real definition of capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
I'll throw a name.
Mm-hmm.
L'Oreal.
Mm-hmm.
L'Oreal is a huge example of a player in the beauty industry. I
yeah.
call them big beauty.
Mm-hmm.
L'Oreal would easily, they are already within the borders through Nice and Lovely and some other products. Unilever,
Unilever
also has some beauty products.
Mm-hmm.
And Beersoft, the guys from Nivea. Well, they don't really manufacture that sometimes, they just do the distribution.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those are guys to look out for. Africa is, especially in East Africa, it's getting popular. It's getting really popular as far as e-commerce, the digital space.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also having a greater population compared to the other parts of the world. Once I've systemized Sanuria, that means I've gotten some guys who know about the formula, just probably like the Coca-Cola guys.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll produce vanilla without my supervision, right?
Mm-hmm.
Vanilla, the bubble gum, the shampoo,
mm-hmm.
and also other bits. I think I'll be producing even more products next year.
Mm-hmm.
So once you've systemized that, and you have your data well put, you have your tax documents well put, these are the holy grails to these corporations. These guys will eventually follow you.
Yeah.
They'll look for you, they'll be like, okay, we love what you're doing, we love the niche, we love the, most of the time it's the data that I'll be having.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be having, I'm just putting this point blank, this is what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be having data based on, say, my Sanurites, the people who use Sanura, you usually call them Sanurites.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Sanurites would have, say, particular skin concerns.
Mm-hmm.
The guys would have oily skin, the guys with acne.
Mm-hmm.
That is data that these corporations would come and pick.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd say, oh, okay, now.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this data, we could easily create a product for this audience.
Mm-hmm.
And we could easily get to that because people also collect phone numbers as far as back SMS and all
that. Yeah.
So once your systems are in order,
mm-hmm.
whatever runs a business, so let's say the managerial point of view,
mm-hmm.
the administration point of view, the marketing point of view, if everything is in order,
mm-hmm.
it gives you a better, how do I put it? It gives you muscle to talk your way out. I don't have to be entirely eliminated from the brand. I might have, say, I'd be like, okay, now since I'd be owning probably say 80% of the shares
the company,
within the
yeah.
Sanura company,
mm-hmm.
I'd be like, you know what, I'll give you 70, I'll be selling it. I'll be selling 70 or 75,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll be sticking with 5%.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard of these guys with 5% in Google and they're getting, you know, the billions
yeah,
worth,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So that is the plan.
Mm-hmm.
That should be the plan with all startups.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't be emotionally attached to your startup.
Oh!
Because it's a time when you have just contributed enough and there's no way you would maybe grow it from there.
Yeah.
The guys who are doing Nike right now,
mm-hmm.
being a multinational corporation,
yeah.
it's not the same guy who started
it off,
right?
Definitely.
And the guy who is the type of ideas that are showcased in these big brands right now,
mm-hmm.
are probably not what the other guys would have done. So you're looking at a point where Sanura would still grow. It would have financial muscle from the guys.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably just be there and talk about, you know, I just do this. You know, this doesn't really align with the foundations of the brand.
You guys.
Yeah. So those would be my inputs if
yeah.
I'm alive.
Yeah.
If I'll really care that much. But
mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that just to show people that I am making this as a money. Kind of as an investment. It is an investment,
mm-hmm.
but I'm also attached to the brand.
What attaches you to your brand? Like what in this? Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, what in this without this makes it to you?
Well,
what's in this butter?
Right.
Without this cover
yeah.
that is written Sanura
mm-hmm.
makes it you.
So I use the product
mm-hmm.
to attach. Let's say you're my client, right? I use this product to engage with you.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a human thing that we need. Okay, it's how do I put this? It's socially attached.
Mm-hmm.
We as humans would make sense out of life as we talk. We're a community.
Yeah.
We get to just share ideas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, my way of sharing with other people
mm-hmm.
is through Sanura.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much warmth I feel
mm-hmm.
whenever I create a product
mm-hmm.
And people will just say, wow, I love this stuff. What do you put in here? Like, I would like to get this for my family. I'd like to get this for my friends. They come back, you know. So that is really, that is what drives me, actually. That is what emotionally attaches me to Sanura. The feedback I get from people. It's addicting, right?
Yeah.
I'd be like, so I made these butters and these guys love these butters. Ooh, especially the vanilla one. How about I make some aromatherapy line, because people love the scents of Sanura being natural. How about I come with a perfume oil, and at the same time I look at it from the point of view that, being a researcher, I'm having some trouble with the perfumes that are getting in here, because they might not be as healthy, and I might link them to some of the cases of reproductive health in women, say the polycystic ovarian syndromes, the acne. You could actually really link some of these perfumes to such situations.
But let's talk about it just for a minute. We talk about, like, yes, you mentioned to me that it is how, like, some of us have a lot of acne, you know. How is that? Like, is it there, like, a system for, like, how is that?
Well, Alex,
and
probably,
what makes Sanura different from all that?
Okay. There are lawsuits against some big brands, not necessarily just the big brands, but also a couple of manufacturing companies from abroad. So some would say, okay, like the other day there were these relaxers from, so these relaxers that, you know, my sisters have been using back in high school. There's a time people used to just use the relaxers and all that. So it took 15 years for a researcher, a black researcher in the US, to identify the link between hormonal disruptions in women, black women especially, because now they're the ones who used to have, they used to use the relaxers, right? So they found a relation between use of these relaxers to hormonal disruptors, or to components in the relaxers that would disrupt your hormones. And hormonal imbalances would bring about acne. That is straightforward. It would bring about the PCOSs as well. It's easy. Some of these relaxers are used because they're not of good standard, because sometimes people use, harsh chemicals. Chemicals that shouldn't be used within the body, the human body. Some of these components just seep through your scalp, and then they just end up messing up the entire stuff. The guys who are getting settlements out of this back in the US, but now that is not really well explored within here.
Yeah.
And most of the time, there are loopholes to imported products. And since the lawsuits are stricter, let's say in the European Union, I am in the CABS technical committee, and it's something that we should, that's cosmetics technical committee, and it's something that we should really, it's something that I'm also trying to, educate or just share. I'm not really, I'm not huge there, but I would try to put in some of these thoughts to them, because we have trouble with coming up with parameters for particular products. It takes time. I mean, we are the best as far as taking care of consumer goods within the East Africa region, East Africa community region, right? But there's still a long way to go.
Okay. But what makes you different? Like, okay.
Yeah, so as far as the Sanura brand is concerned, if you've gone through my TikTok, it's where I get most engagements. I usually insist on educating the masses. Educating would go hand in hand with awareness. So now if there's something that is out there, and that based on my research abilities, I would see that this product that is getting out there, as far as beauty is concerned, it's a bad kind of product for the people, I would tell it out, right? And as well as the education, now that you know what you're supposed to avoid, you know, what are you supposed to adopt, and how are you supposed to adopt it, and how would particular natural ingredients that I have and that I will have would link to your beauty needs. So that is as far as what I'm doing currently, but I'm hoping to do more as I gain my experience in the industry.
Okay. Okay. As a founder, how do you leverage social media to work for you?
Social media is everything to me.
Mm-hmm.
Social media is everything. As I said, I am on TikTok,
mm-hmm.
I'm on Instagram,
mm-hmm.
I'm on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
I'm on Pinterest,
mm-hmm.
I'm on LinkedIn,
mm-hmm.
I'm also trying to get on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
I'm running all of these,
mm-hmm.
but it's essentially trying to widen your wings to just grasp the next person.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been recently loving TikTok,
mm-hmm.
because with TikTok you can easily engage people.
Yeah.
Right, and with social media also, there's a time I think I don't know if they brought it back, but they gave us some e-commerce ability within Instagram,
mm-hmm.
so people will just see the product, they know what the product is about. So in essence, it helps with sales.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, if social media was to shut down today,
right. Mm-hmm.
What would you do? Like, how do you ensure that Sanura, other than social media,
mm-hmm.
also works?
Well, it's going to take a long time before social media dies, because there's so many people who are directly involved in social media. But
mm-hmm.
let's say it dies,
mm-hmm.
I'll have to restructure. There's going to be a very huge restructuring going on. I'm doing flea markets as a way of physically engaging my clients. So that would go, but I think there's going to be a replacement for social media, and I'll have to align with it.
Mm-hmm.
As an entrepreneur, I've learned to align with the times.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
What are the key lessons you've learned over the years since COVID with your business that you think are key in entrepreneurship, that if you miss this one,
Okay, I won't say that if you missed it, it won't really work out for you. I'll just
mm-hmm.
tell you what I personally went through,
mm-hmm.
Because that is the truth of what I experienced.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time, I don't want to say I went into depression, because I guess I went into serious depression back during COVID times, but it's really hustling
mm-hmm.
to start out a brand and to convince the first, the second, the third, you know,
mm-hmm.
person of your product, right? And sometimes it's usually... it's like getting beat when you're down, because you can imagine as you're starting out, your product is not perfect yet.
Yeah.
And the more you grow about within the industry, that's when you get to know more about everything, and that's where you place everything in order. But you have to love what you're doing, right? I would work all the way to 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Not all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I work at 3 a.m. because I'm losing sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I crafted my logo. I crafted the name. At sometime in 3 a.m., some of those insomnia nights.
Mm-hmm.
But those are things that I would just lose sleep and head towards my lab, right? And try and create something,
yeah.
Not really just watching a movie, because I'm interested in this, in the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have your enterprise or your hustle to be something that you love, like the same way you love your nail work and all that. Okay. So it's very important that you love the stuff.
True.
Yeah. So personally, I do force myself sometimes if I feel, but you have those days when things aren't really aligning.
Mm-hmm.
And but I try to force myself to do what I need to know. You should limit yourself to information that is within your industry.
Yeah.
I watch lots of fashion TV because I'd really love to get into merchandising.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that would grow my other wing in business. So that is a plus.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say really networking. Did I network? I'm such a shy guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really network that much. I'm just hoping someone with relevant skills would probably approach me, but which would happen.
Mm-hmm.
And a very great... factor or variant would usually be fate. I can't really tell you that I did 1, 2, 3 things, that I worked hard, that I put in the prayers and all that, as you just noticed that I'm an atheist, I'm a realist, let's say. So it's usually fate. As I say, the things that you did some time back that really did the entire thing for you, the butterfly effect in essence. People have very, very different stories, and I think that the entire thing is with the journey.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you might have trouble, which is normal. There's ups and downs, but you should get in love with the journey. That's why you have to love what you're doing. So that when it's hurting, it's like salt, right? It's
yeah.
sour, but it's good on the
you have to keep it to keep at it, like, okay, it's okay,
right.
It's hurting,
yeah,
but you know what, I love you, mm-hmm. And you have
and
to
you
work
have to go, and you have to enjoy the journey, like,
yeah.
Because I'm sure,
mm-hmm.
My destination would be probably selling a huge chunk of my Sanura shares,
mm-hmm.
And just go out to the beach house,
mm-hmm.
That is my dream. I'm hoping that would happen, but
yeah.
That would probably not happen,
yeah,
yeah, because people die. Sometimes just stuff happens, right?
Yeah.
I don't know why I like talking about that, but that's it. So with fate,
mm-hmm.
it's now the thing is this. Okay, maybe this would help. This is what I use, and this would probably be all across people. So just listen out properly.
Mm-hmm.
So I am a realist. I work with probabilities.
Mm-hmm.
If I wanted to come here and I wanted the safest route possible, I'd probably get a boat.
Mm-hmm.
But if I wanted the riskiest way possible, I'd probably get a boat, right? That is true, right?
Yeah.
Now, when you put yourself, let's say within this particular industry that I'm at,
mm-hmm.
I am also a member at the Kenya Association of Manufacturers. So I put myself in positions where I would probably get a skill or an advantage within the industry. It's also the same with working hard. The people who say work smart, but working hard is also part of it.
Mm-hmm.
The more you mess around, you will find out.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you mess around within your industry, the more gems you're going to get there.
Definitely.
Right.
Definitely.
So that's it. If you're going to mathematically put your probabilities as you're doing your business,
mm-hmm.
You're going to go through routes through which you would achieve the most success. If you'd want an appealing brand, you're more probable to get an appealing feedback from your people if you have, say, a good packaging.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you just mess around getting good packaging, yeah. You're going to get that result of people wanting to have that stuff.
Yeah.
So now you just get that idea and blend it in your particular, you know, you're making me feel like I made it already. But
no,
but
I get you.
Yeah,
I get you.
That is the whole essence.
Yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
Just work towards
mm-hmm.
the route with the most probabilities of success.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably where you're going to make it from.
To make it from.
Yeah.
Okay, I think for me, consistency works and just being there, like showing up.
Yeah.
You know, I had someone say that life is 80% showing up, 20% doing what you have to do. So if you show up to that route, you don't have to have it figured out.
Right.
But because you've already shown out and you're ready to like accommodate it, you know, the things will just get to you.
Right.
And I think at this point, unless like I'll give you like 2 minutes, talk about your brand, something you think that we should know, we don't know. Sell
okay.
Your brand.
All right.
I'm giving you 2 minutes to sell your brand.
Okay. Well, I would sell myself.
Mm-hmm.
I would tell people that I'm a very honest person.
Mm-hmm.
I love it when people love my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And how do I put this? I usually love creating stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I'm going to just sell some of these,
mm-hmm.
I just launched these the other day.
Mm-hmm.
These are perfume oils. I think I'm usually looking at the Sunrite, which is they're usually Gen Z girls that the most people who would get my stuff because they love the fragrances and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I just talked to you about the fragrances,
yeah,
which would be harmful to people's health and all that. Now, those are some of the ways through which I would want to expand the company. I'm not really looking at it from the point of view of the company being the best at probably sales or, you know, the corporate look of the company.
Mm-hmm.
I want it to be a community. I want it to be playful. I still don't know what I'll do next year,
mm-hmm.
but I definitely have it being engaging and affordable to the person who wants to purchase it. I just want to improve on their life experience as I'm doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm loving it because people are kind of aligning to the narrative that I have as the brand. It's going to change as people come in. That's why I'm usually really scared of getting a team. You probably get a team member who is not one with what the brand's narrative is. So that is probably what you're going to see from me in the coming years. I probably get more collaborators. I have a different look for the brand. I don't want it to be just so corporate-y. You have systems, there's all of that. I want it to be playful for the most part. I'll play around with the brand for as long as I can before selling it. But at the same time, I have to make business sense. And that is basically it. I just introduced these perfume oils. They're really nice. They smell really nice. Mm-hmm. They range from fresh to fruity. I'm going to get more, that would be resin-like, like with the frankincense and with the sandalwoods. I'm going to get more varieties. And yeah, I think sunrise would love this.
Okay.
That is as far as what I can say about my future.
And you're selling yourself now.
Yeah.
Now that you've mentioned that, I am a Gen Z person, young guy watching you.
Okay.
And I feel like, wow, this is so awesome. Tell me something. How did you get here? How do I get to where you're at?
Wow. People have, let me tell you something, by the way, Doris.
Mm.
People have different parts in life.
Yeah.
And as I said initially, that I think all of this is just some simulation going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like also I'm more aligned into the situations where we are, our actions are predetermined. It was kind of predetermined that I'd be here.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm a chemist, I'm a scientist, so I have all those multi-parallel universes thingy where I would exist somewhere else doing something different.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's someone else who said, we are probably living different, we're living every other person's life. So you're starting off as the homo habilis, you know, using tools.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, you'll die,
mm-hmm.
and then you'll come back as the next life, being the next person.
Mm-hmm.
You get now at the end of your life experience, which is troublesome,
mm-hmm.
you'll have lived every other person's life.
Mm-hmm.
You probably live my life,
mm-hmm.
I'll live your life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it from a very astronomical point of view.
You're complicated.
This is the thing. You have to grasp the thing that makes sense to you and plan with it.
Okay.
The moment you have concrete boundaries
mm-hmm.
along what you believe in and what you would use to propel you to the next phase of your life,
mm-hmm.
you just grab it, block all the noise, and rush with it.
That works. Grab it, block all the noise, and run
and
with,
rush
it.
With it. Right.
I think I also have a theory that all of us are gifted with certain ideas in our minds,
definitely.
But it's up to you to make it alive,
yeah.
such that if you don't make it alive today,
mm-hmm.
tomorrow the idea will be taken away from you. Not really taken away,
yes.
you won't forget it,
yeah.
but you'll see the exact same thing
yeah, almost
already
right.
existing, and
yeah.
you'll be tempted to say they stole my idea.
Yeah, definitely.
I promise you, they did not steal your idea.
Yeah.
It was given to you. You refused to let it light,
yeah.
but because it was time for this light to shine,
mm-hmm.
it had to shine.
Definitely. And we are
just
all
not
human.
Through you,
yeah.
through another person.
Yeah, definitely. And we are all human. There's a
mm-hmm.
chance that whatever you're thinking
mm-hmm.
would be what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
But not based on even the different billions of neural links in our brains,
mm-hmm.
we think differently. And you've been exposed to different events in
yeah.
this life.
Mm-hmm.
That would give you a very special platform for
mm-hmm.
you to create what you have to create.
Yeah.
So that's the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you so much. So dear founder, whatever you're thinking of doing, do it today.
Do it
start
right
now. It. You know, like the universe will just align for you to make it a success. And yeah, like just show up. Show up. Look at Sanura here.
Right.
Who thought that you could grow from sanitizers?
You're gassing me. But yeah, it's cool.
Who thought
you
would like start from sanitizers and here you are? We have a whole line of products.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you so much. Guys.
Yeah. So this is a parting shot.
Right.
Just 5 seconds.
5 seconds.
Give a parting shot.
Well, I'll just tell you guys to just follow me. That's where I do most of my engagements. If you love my vision for the brand, if you love how I would like to tackle beauty, especially, you'd follow me on TikTok at Sanura Beauty. My Instagram and my Facebook is Sanura_beauty. And That's Pinterest. Pinterest is interesting. It's a very, you should check it out. Pinterest, the Sanura Company, and LinkedIn, the Sanura Company. You'll find me there. Just engage. I'll want to get views from the community towards how we can make these brands. Wait, first of all, I want to shout out every other. We actually met based on the video I made of wanting to have collaborators.
Yeah.
There's so much potential in the Gen Z. Let me just say, call them the Gen Z. As long as it's making money, it's nice. And content creation has been really, really special, and it's valuable, right? So, however you think your idea is, however difficult you think it might be to execute it, just have the trust in yourself. And nowadays, it's a global village. You could see what they're doing back in Europe and in the Americas, and you could just align that towards your craft. Because I think most of the guys who would come up with ideas, they'd say, okay, the baby boomers don't really like this idea, right? They're like, I can't really have locks because my mom says, you know, I can't really, you know, because of the respects. Yeah, but, you know, if you just go ahead and try and prove them wrong, that's the whole assignment. You have to prove them wrong in your success, and now you have to do everything that it takes to do that.
I gave you 5 seconds.
I'm sorry.
You've overused this, but anyway,
yeah.
Thank you so much for watching this episode. My name is Doris Wanyagia of It Pricked. It's a Rose, the podcast. Until next episode, bye-bye.